morning. We'll bring the Labor Conference Committee meeting to order at approximately 8:08 a.m. Present are Senator Olson, Senator Machicki, Senator Stead, myself, Senator Dunleavy. We've got three bills we're going to hear. HB 50, multi-unit housing commercial use. This is the second hearing on the bill. The intent is to move it out today. HB 125, topical eye medication, prescription refills. This is the second hearing on the bill. The intent would be to move it today. And HB 147, extend autism early diagnosis task force. This is the first hearing on the bill, and we will set that one aside to the later hearing. So with that, you've got everything turned off. Yes.
On that last bill, autism, what are you planning for the schedule of the committee? I just looked here and checked the expiration dates on it and stuff.
We're going to try and – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Are we going to need a – if this is the last committee, then maybe we should make an exception and get rid of it. And if it's not the last committee, then hold it over.
Well, if we can get through the first two and have – we get through the first two and have a decent discussion on this, maybe we can move it off. That's the world of committee. I was thinking about having a labor and commerce meeting about 11 o'clock tonight or something. Or anyway.
I'm getting motivated.
So we're going to turn to CHB 50, sponsored by Representative Costello. It's the multi-unit housing. I believe we have Josh Walton here to come up and state your name for the record. And tell us a little bit about the bill again. This is the second hearing on this bill.
Thank you, members of the committee and Chairman Dunleavy. This is my name for the record is Joshua Walton, and I'm staff to Representative Mia Costello. Thank you once again for hearing House Bill 50. House Bill 50, the nutshell version of it is that it gives AHFC flexibility to authorize some commercial uses in spaces. Multi-use, multi-unit residential housing properties owned or leased by AHFC would allow some commercial use there. And as I mentioned at the last meeting, there are some sideboards, some particular businesses that I think most would agree are not particularly family-friendly, and those are explicitly excluded. But apart from that, there's apart from those particular sideboards, there's quite a lot of flexibility, and the AHFC board has quite a bit of discretion. I stand ready to handle any questions any members might have after the meeting.
Thank you. And for the committee's information, we do have Dan Fowski, Stacey Schubert, Eric Havlick online. Is Eric here or online? I believe online. And Mark Romick online with AHFC. So we have four AHFC folks here. If we need those folks for questions. But right now, are there any questions for Mr. Walton from members of the committee? Seeing none? Thank you. Do we want to have Stacey Schubert come up, please? Please state your name for the record. Ms. Schubert's with AHFC.
Good morning, Chairman Dunleavy. For the record, my name is Stacey Schubert. I'm the Director of Government Relations for Alaska Housing Finance Corporation.
So do we have any questions for members of the committee? Ms. Schubert on this bill. Seeing no questions, public testimony is open. Do we have anyone online that is not associated with governmental agency HFC? Okay. Closed public testimony. Any last chance here for questions or comments?
Just have a comment, Mr. Chairman. I'm very comfortable with the bill. I think we're a little behind the eight ball on mixed compatible use, and I think it'll help on making our AHFC properties more marketable and more productive.
Thank you. Is there a motion to move the bill?
There is. I move HB 28-LS01550 with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations to the next committee referral.
Is there any objection to moving this bill? Seeing none, we're moving to the next committee referral, and we're going to take it just very quick at ease. We're back in session. Next bill we have before us is HB 125, sponsored by Representative Holmes. Short title is Topical IMED Prescription Refills. This is our second hearing on the bill, and we have Staffers, Representative Holmes, Chrissy McNally, please state your name for the record and just give us a short summary of the bill.
For the record, my name is Chrissy McNally, staff to Representative Lindsay Holmes. Thank you for hearing this bill again. House Bill 125 will allow individuals who require prescription eye medications for chronic diseases to receive refills before their prescribed renewal date in the event that they run out of their medication. Currently, prescription eye drops are measured out the same way as pills are. One drop equals one dose. However, because of the nature of the liquid medication, inadvertent wastage does occur just from uneven dispensing of a drop and sometimes patients missing their eyes. And so this bill would alleviate that problem by requiring that health insurance providers allow for refills of eye drop prescriptions prior to the last day of the dosage period, as long as the refill is approved by the doctor. We're happy to say that this bill has the support of ophthalmologists, optometrists, and we've worked closely with the insurance industry to make sure that they are okay with this bill.
Any questions from members of the committee for Ms. McNally?
Chairman.
Senator Olson.
As you look at the bill, what are you familiar with the schedule of drugs that are out there? Schedule 1, Schedule 2? Is there, my question has to do with... You're not familiar with it.
Senator Olson, we do have Michael Levitt online with the American Ophthalmology Academy, if we have questions for him.
Sure.
You want us to bring him online now?
If you would, please.
Yes. Mr. Levitt, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Could you please state your name for the record and who you're associated with? We've got some questions for you.
My name is Michael Levitt. I'm with the American Academy of Ophthalmology.
Thank you. Senator Olson?
Mr. Levitt, I'm assuming that you are or are not an ophthalmologist, or do you have an...
I am not an ophthalmologist. However, I worked in this position as manager for state governmental affairs for 15 years. Some of my best friends are ophthalmologists.
And you're familiar with the schedule of drugs that are out there, the pharmacopoeia?
Yes, I am.
How far does this go as far as the up the scale before you start getting to some of the cane drugs or something like that?
This would include those sorts of drugs. Normally, ophthalmologists prescribe very few controlled substances. They may do it postoperatively for a limited amount of time, but in terms of chronic use of painkillers, that is basically not regular practice in ophthalmology. This is meant more for glaucoma and other chronic diseases. I don't see the cane drugs really playing a significant part here.
So, Mr. Levitt, if somebody has a corneal or has a eye drops for corneal, some kind of anesthetic, this would apply to that as well?
It would apply to that, but normally what happens is that you would not normally be on that sort of medication for well over 30 days. You deal with the problem immediately, either surgically or just through natural healing. That would not be normal practice in ophthalmology to have someone on chronic pain, anti-pain medications. That is just not practice. I mean, if you have chronic pain, eye enucleation is the formula.
So, Mr. Levitt, if somebody has glaucoma, which is obviously high intraocular pressures, what kind of controls do we have so that they don't? So we have some kind of safeguard that their glaucoma is under control rather than just putting drops in there to try and...
The way glaucoma works is the ophthalmologist normally will take the pressure. The drugs that they do use for glaucoma regulate the pressure. Normally they ask the patient to come back every few months or so to ensure that the pressure is being maintained. They may use combination drugs if the pressure isn't being maintained. If that is still not working, then they'll do more invasive interventions, either with lasers or more surgically invasive procedures involving scalpels and implantations and that sort of thing.
Mr. Lovett, I'm not worried about how glaucoma works. Having studied in medical school, I'm very familiar with it, but it has no symptoms that are out there. My question has to do with, if he's got drops prescribed to him to try and keep the pressure down, how does a person continue to get refills when it's not under good control? Especially if he's only seen every couple on every month or so, and you have retinal deterioration because of the pressure. That's my question.
Like I said, the ophthalmologist normally, that there are hundreds of different glaucomas. If the patient is having problems, they will get the patient in there. It's a long-term disease. It's not a disease where normally there are exceptions. Normally the patient will go blind in a short amount of time. There are types of glaucoma where that does occur, but the intervention is immediate and normally surgical. A patient will not go blind from glaucoma from normally these chronic diseases for years and years, normally. And so if the pressure is going up gradually, they will adjust the medications.
Well, let's take, for example, narrow angle glaucoma, which is probably the most...
Narrow angle glaucoma is a different type of glaucoma. In that type of glaucoma, they will do an immediate intervention. That is serious and acute, and the ophthalmologist would treat it accordingly.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions for members of the committee? Seeing none, thank you. Any questions for Ms. McNally?
How many states have this?
Senator Olson, through the chair, four other states have this: Connecticut, Maryland, New Mexico, and New York.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questions? No questions? Do we have anyone online that wants to give public testimony? No one online? Okay. Close public testimony. With that, is there a motion to move this item?
There is, Mr. Chairman. I move CSHP 125-28-LS0431/0.A with attached zero fiscal notes and individual recommendations to the next committee referral.
Is there an objection? Objection, Senator Steadman?
We're moving version N. Version A.
Okay. Just a brief of these. Back in session, Senator Steadman.
No questions.
You withdraw your objection?
Well, I withdraw my objection. I was just confused. Didn't know. Happens on occasion.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, just a comment.
Yes, Senator Olson.
Having practiced medicine in Bush, Alaska, and certainly dealing with people that got challenges with their eyes is a very critical issue, and so I fully support this being able to go in and refill, because it's terrible to be out in a village and run out of a medication that's very necessary for example, glaucoma, which was brought up. But there are other diseases that are out there that a person could very much suffer from, whether they're hepatic infections or something like that. And so I stand in full support of this bill.
Thank you. So with that, the item is moved, and it is, with no objections, it's moving on to, it's going to the rules. Okay, thank you. We're going to take a brief at ease. Session. So our next bill, I can find my paper here, is HB 147. And this is a task force on autism to continue, expire January 15, 2013. So with that, we'll ask Representative Sadler to state his name for the record and give testimony on this, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, Representative Dan Sadler, House District 12. The purpose of this bill is straightforward, is simply to extend the authorization date for the Comprehensive Autism Early Diagnosis and Treatment Task Force, created in the 27th Legislature by Senate Bill 74. Very brief background, autism is a neurobehavioral disorder characterized by diminished communications and social skills that often manifests early in life. While incurable, it is treatable, and studies have shown early treatment can extend the, improve rather, the life prospects of those with autism, can save the state money, and can keep families together. This legislation last year, SB 74, established a law requiring private health insurers in the state to cover the cost of effective treatment for autism. Now, it's true that this bill did not make autism insurance coverage available to every Alaskan family, and that's one of the reasons why this task force was included, to find ways to extend that coverage to other families. The nine-member task force is charged with making recommendations for draft legislation to extend insurance coverage to the greatest number of Alaskans. For making recommendations to the legislature on development of a statewide plan to support early diagnosis and treatment, evaluating the fiscal effects of its proposals, and analyzing how the Federal Affordable Care Act is expected to affect the task force's recommendations. That's the context of the bills before you. HB 147 simply extends the time allowed for the task force to do its work to January 15, 2015, the last day of the 28th Alaska Legislature. I would appreciate your consideration for passing this bill to let this task force continue its good work. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Representative Sadler? Senator Olson.
The task force has been in force for a little while and has not. What are the accomplishments that it's done within the last year or so?
Through the chair, Senator Olson. In fact, the task force members were not approved by both houses who had the appointing authority until in November of last year. So, other than some initial organization work, the task force has not actually accomplished any work of note yet.
Okay, but it's only been in effect for a matter of months and days, right?
That's correct, sir. So. We tried to do what we could. We tried to, through the chair, Senator Olson, considered whether trying to make a big hard push in the month or so we had, and thought it would be better to go for an extension and do it right.
I very much appreciate your efforts.
Thank you, sir.
Any questions from members of the committee? Senator Bachicki.
Just a comment, Mr. Chairman, but this is a group of very active individuals dealing with autism even before they had a sort of an official task force. So I think we could safely say that they have gotten a lot of good work done for families that are struggling with autism, and I certainly support them being extended in their efforts.
Thank you. Questions, Senator Steadman?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I noticed the expiration date is behind us. Isn't that right? January 2013?
The chair, Senator, that is correct.
And in the last few days of this session, has there been discussion to try to ensure that this doesn't get hung up in the end and not through the system?
We, through the chair, Senator, we have been working to make progress here. Section 3 is a retroactivity clause that kicks it back to the beginning and starts again, but has there been efforts, no more so than just trying to get the bill through? We've made good progress in the other body and hope to make similar progress in the Senate.
Mr. Chairman, I'd suggest that, assuming the committee, which I think they will, take affirmative action to move this out, that you engage the leadership team in the Senate to make sure that this that isn't stuck in the bottom of the calendar on the last night.
Understood.
Because that stuff happens sometimes, even though on the surface it might look like not that critical of a bill and get pushed down the totem pole. So, we've had a few bills like this hung up over time.
That's true, sir. I believe the bill is scheduled for the floor, for your floor today, pending referral from this committee. Okay. That's betting on the come.
Any additional questions for Representative Sadler? Seeing none, is there anyone online to testify? Seeing none. Is there a motion to move this item?
There is, Mr. Chairman. I move House Bill 147-28-LS0438A with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations to the next committee referral.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, this bill is moved to the next committee referral. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
At this point, we are adjourned and possibly for the entire year.